Hey, Santiago, thank you for coming in. You are doing just amazing and outstanding work. I can see your journey personally and how you're invoking change both on a regional, national, and global basis, but you're also doing within the YPO community. So you're doing just personally. You're already showing purposeful leadership at such a young age. Purposeful sort of business orientation and investments. And then globally within the YPO community, you're doing the same thing, both inside and outside YPO. So we're going to explore all of that. So again, thank you for coming in and sharing your experience with our audience.
No, thank you for having me, Stephen. It's a pleasure, just to be here talking to you and having the interview. Thanks.
So Santiago, what were some of the inflection points that created this wonderful, outstanding person that you are today? And it could be at the age of three, perhaps, or it could have been a mentor, somebody in your family, maybe two or three things that really helped shape where you are today and where you want to go.
Okay, I think I would start that question going with my formation as first as in my childhood. I'd say that my dad was someone that I was always looking after. Just as a person that just evokes leadership, it's always looking after helping other people. And then my mom, she was my inspiration in terms of I would say my mom is the most is the strongest woman I know, in all the things that she has done for the family, all the things that she has sacrificed. And both of them were like a perfect medley, in their educations they gave me. They also, I'm very fortunate because they gave me, the best education possible and just all of the opportunities that were available at the time for me, a perfect medley for me to form as an individual that really cares about. At the time for me, it was helping others. I found it that my happiness, my passion was when I impacted someone else, not his life in a certain way, but if I could just maybe help in a way that that person felt personally better after I intervened. For me, that was something that gave me passion, and it was something that I found that maybe my environment in Colombia. Colombia is one of the unfortunately, it's one of the countries that it's the most unbalanced in terms of Gini coefficient, Lorentz curve. Colombia is a country where you can find lots of ways that you can at the end of the day help people, and that just awakened something in me when I was very young, growing up in Colombia, that has transformed me to be an advocate of impact today, I'd say.
So what I'm hearing from you, Santiago, is your father and your mother really had a big influence as mentors and really as role models, which you're trying to emulate as well. And then your country has provided opportunities from impact and really helping to make a positive contribution. And that's your passion, and that makes you happiest. You also talked about that you had this opportunity to have a great education. Can you talk about that? What did you
Yeah, sure.
study, why, and so on?
Just from a young age in Colombia, the amount of people that are bilingual, I think it's below the 8-7% of the population. As a young person, just having the opportunity to be bilingual in Spanish and English, opens a lot of doors for my future opportunities. Having the education, in which I learned not only how to capacitate in educational terms of international education, but also how to maybe learn some concepts in business organizations. And then was also when YPO entered in my life, and it changed everything, because that was when I learned how to actually to do interactions with this business people per se, in which I learned how to maybe had certain conversations, or maybe how to better ask for help, or how to just see the patterns that some people in Colombia that were relatively successful had in their lives. And from a young age, learning from those people, having internships, for example, with the GSG Impact Investment Steering Group, with the people that were doing the NAP of the confirmation of the people that were going to implement that impact investment in Colombia. I was able to have an internship with them at a very young age in Colombia, and just seeing how those people were able to accomplish so much things in a low amount of time. It was where I felt like a sponge that was like absorbing lots of information, learning a lot of things, not only like in an educational way, but also in a practice way in life. It was just great having the opportunities from YPO and from the education that my dad also gave me in the house in terms of values as a human person.
You know, what I'm hearing again is this, you had the opportunities to have great internships and learning like a sponge from those experiences. You also have this background in applied bachelor's in science and industrial engineering in Colombia. Can you talk about that and how you're applying some of those experiences in your work and so on? So that, that's a... engineering is tough, right? It's got science elements to it, and of course it's applied. That's the aspect of engineering which is different from other kinds of sciences, right? So are you able to use that experience and then this idea of business and global and public affairs in the business school in Spain? So how you transitioned from this bachelor's in science and industrial engineering, what led you to do that, and some of the takeaways for you from that, and then going into business school as well?
Of course. That's very interesting. It's true. There's kind of a contrast from the applied sciences in engineering and then global and public affairs and business. There's a connection there. Of course there is, especially in me. I found that I'm a people person. I'm someone that loves to speak, that loves to interact, that loves projects, that loves to connect. But at the same time, I also found that in my childhood growing up, I was really good at the organizational part of structuring. With industrial engineering part, I learned the concepts of how to be, or the best practices of how to better be effective with the amount of resources that you have and the amount of time that you want to do stuff. So it's something that I do implement today. It's amazing how can you implement those concepts of engineering, not only with, with the operations of per se an industry or a company, but also with the group projects or the people that you are working on in your environment, because at the end of the day, it's all about effective communication. How can you best use your skills to add value to a group? And sometimes those concepts that you learn from engineering are very useful also to implement as a people person. And now just having a completely different education here in Spain, a different culture than Colombia and Latin America, where I can get the education from the global and public affairs perspective and a business school perspective, I think it's just giving me exactly what I was expecting from a people business driven university that is giving me all of this connections, public speaking perspective, how can like the interaction between different nations affect the industry and the markets, and then just implementing some of that like applied engineering stuff into the people conversations. I think that has really shaped me as an individual in a very unique way. And just having, the opportunity to have education in two different continents, in Latin America and then in Spain, in Europe, has also brought me a broad perspective that I'm very, very grateful of.
You know, you're very young too, though. I mean, you're 20. And so you've got this industrial engineering background, and then you've got the business school background. So you've got the really analytical kind of hard science, but in an applied way. And then you got the business side and the people side. And as you mentioned earlier, a multilingual. So, and that helped shape your journey. But as a YPO team, so YPO is this organization of entrepreneurial leaders. It's about 30,000 plus worldwide, about 9 trillion in annual revenue as a combined group, and you're part of the YPO Next Generation, which they sometimes call YNGers. And as a teen, you attended the Entrepreneurship Harvard Business School summer class at the age of 15. I mean, that's quite remarkable. So what interested you in taking that program, and what did you learn at the age of 15 from taking that program?
I have to say, I have to tell you a story to maybe contextualize that background. Very early, as a kid, I was asking my father some questions like, how we were like in malls and just companies that you see in Colombia, and I was asking, like, as a 5, 6, 8 year old kid, who was the person who built up this company and that did this franchises or like repeated the company in lots of locations in Colombia, and how does that kind of things happen? And my father introduced me to the term of an entrepreneur, or someone that does a startup company from zero, and there's a lot of things that you need to take on. And from then on, when I was envisioning where I wanted to maybe go to study or where I wanted to look after for the big academics part of life, I had the opportunity to be a company of my father, because he was going to this father and teen business course in Harvard University. And he took me by his side and he said, this is a course that will bring a lot of value, because I'm going to be learning. And the amazing thing of this course is that I can take a teen with me, and he wanted me to be with him at that course. And it was an amazing course, because we, the teens, 15 to 18 years old, we were learning actual business cases from university, from Harvard Business School cases, in which we had to review how companies from Harvard Business School alumni graduates were doing. And then after some times, we discussed in class what we would do if we were them at that time. And after discussing, the actual person from the case came to the class and told us what he did or what she did in those cases. And it was an amazing way to learn. And just adding, like, for example, in my case, it was my father as a mentor giving me like the feedback on what should I maybe analyze in those study cases of business, just gave me a perfect medley to learn a lot about entrepreneurship during that teen business course in Harvard. I can also mention that that was one of the places that I really, really got inspired by entrepreneurship and by doing something, not just for the sake of getting that like bumped up feeling of I'm doing something that is great, I'm doing something that I like, but also doing something that in some way, I hope in some way I can build something that will help people and will help people in a lot of places, because I come from this background in Colombia in which I just feel the necessity, and I just feel very satisfied when I'm able to do something that brings value to a community, just give something back to the surroundings that I have.
So I can see this curiosity you have in entrepreneurship, even at a very young age. And then you attend this entrepreneurship school where you hear business cases, but you get to apply it and think about it and what that journey consists of. And you get to ideate in terms of how you would work in this area. But then you created this first social venture company. Can you talk about that?
Yes, this was actually great. I was in one of my last moments in high school, actually. And it all started with a project for high school, but I went beyond that at the time. We were supposed to do a personal project, and some students, they did like, I don't know, they made like a small book or they make small entries. I decided to make a company with this motivation that I had to be an entrepreneur. I said, you know what? I'm going to do a company. And analyzing the resources that are in Colombia and the resources that might be important in a couple of years ahead, I saw the product of quinoa. Quinoa, one of the most nutritious and healthiest ingredients that we have today. In Colombia, we grow a lot of quinoa. So I said, let's diversify the product of quinoa and let's make quinoa milk out of quinoa. So I went to the south of Colombia, I traveled there, and I started interviewing some of the farmers that grew quinoa in their farms. and asking them what was, for example, what was needed for a quinoa to be transformed into milk, and it was possible. What was needed for maybe acquiring that quinoa? What kind of contracts do they get? And I encountered at that time a problematic that I wasn't expecting to encounter in my business model, and was that the farmers in Colombia also have issues with the contracts that they made from the big companies that buy the products from them. So I said, okay, this is where actually I can make this company to not only be a healthy company that has like this added value to customers, that it's a new product and it's healthy, but maybe I can make this a company that in the future can be one of the companies that is a study case or an example of how to bring value also to the providers, to the farmers that are selling you the products off in Colombia, for them not to get ripped off, but for them to feel that they are actually part of the project, that they're part of what they're doing in quinoa milk. So I felt really motivated at that time. I made my business model, I made my financial planning statements, I started to do a company. I contacted Tetra Pak in Colombia for making a prototype of my product. I was able to make a prototype. I went to a fair of entrepreneurs and I started my first startup that I was really pumped up in Colombia, that I was really happy that it had this huge business model of differentiation, but also had a value of impact for the farmers in Colombia. And that was a time when I actually realized this is what I want to do in my life. Like maybe do a startup, do something that helps people. And for the time being, I said, this would be like an extra period in my life. If you want to elaborate after, I said, at this moment, what I have to do is I want to learn from people that I could consider really successful or the best at being entrepreneurs. And that was where the network of YPO came to my mind again. And I said, I need to actually take advantage of this huge network that is YPO and learn from these people and actually maybe give something back in terms of impact.
So that's a great segue into or doorway or path, gateway into your YPO work, because you do a lot within YPO. So you're the global impact officer at the YPO board of YNG, YPO Next Generation. Can you tell me what the age range of YNG is, or YPO Next Generation? And what does it mean to be the global impact officer on the global board, YPO Next Generation?
Of course. For understanding what you explained it perfectly, YPO is this organization of CEOs or directors of companies or the equivalent, and YNG then are mostly the sons and daughters of the YPOs. And these are supposed to be people that want to be the leaders of the next generation, the YNGs, YPOs of the next generation. YNG currently has over 23, getting to 25,000 members across 135 countries, so international. YNG, I can say, if I had to summarize it, I would start by stating the new mission of YNG, the ambition of it. The vision of YNG is to develop the next conscious leaders of the next generation. So YNG is there to give tools to these members, give them opportunities for them to develop themselves personally and professionally to become the leaders of the next generation. So giving them, for example, not only the network that YNG has, you know, it's a very international and valuable network that has YPOs and has YNGs who are driving through as all the members are doing. But it also gives them events, international events for them to connect and for them to learn. It gives them the programs of mentoring. So getting a mentor like a YPO that can maybe guide you through your entrepreneur course or can guide you through your career path. It gives them lots of amazing tools and opportunities for YNGs to become the YPOs of the next generation or the leaders of the next generation globally, locally. And for me, it's an amazing concept. I think it's something that has really changed my life. The time that I have been there, I have been able to engage with YNG locally in Colombia, regionally in Latin America, and now I'm fortunate enough to take a new step since July. as the global impact officer. At the time, I was named impact officer for the board of YNG Global. I had become the first Latin American YNGer to be in the YPO Next Generation Board, which was something that I was very proud of, giving some representation of my amazing and lovely region of Latin America. And YNG just keeps amazing me. The kind of things and experiments, not experiments, but the kind of things that you can start in YNG, just bringing up the value of the network, are unimaginable. Incubators, accelerators, startups, mentorings, events, anything that you think that you can do in this size, in this sandbox, I mean, that's for you. And you just are creating stuff. And that's something that I love, because I love to be creative with what we have in YNG. And my specific role in YNG is to help the YNGers to accomplish the mission of being next generation leaders, but doing so by helping them to be impactful leaders. And that's my mission. My personal mission in YNG is to help the YNGers, but for them to be impactful in the journey that they're taking on.
You're describing YNGers as really a significant community, because there's 23,000, as you mentioned, globally, and you know, over 130 countries. In fact, probably mirroring the YPO membership itself, which is in something like 145 countries. Mm-hmm. And you're helping to create the next conscious leaders of the future. So really being mindful of opportunities, but also challenges, and being purposeful and leading and then shaping where things are going. And because you're the global impact officer, then you want to make sure that everything has some kind of force for good in what you're trying to do within the next generation YPOers or YNGers. So that's a significant community. You're also a One World Ambassador. I mean, what does that mean? What is One Young World? And one how do you world. Be a, and what does it mean to be an ambassador?
Of course, sorry to interrupt. Yeah, One New World, it's another separate community of YNG. Well, they used to be separated before. It's another organization that in terms of age gap, same as YNG, it goes from 18 years old to 35 years old. One New World aims to target in terms to attract the leaders of the world that are young, that are already shaping and doing the impact across the world. It's an organization that I would say, in the differentiation of YNG, One New World has this annual summit that they do every year. And what they want to do with the annual summit of One New World is that they want to become like the World Economic Forum of Davos, but for the young people. And it's an amazing summit that they do in One New World once a year. They pick one city, one leadership global city in the world. For example, last year was Munich. This year was Manchester. Next year is going to be Belfast. And in 2024 is going to be Montreal in Canada. They pick one city and they do this amazing summit with amazing speakers, with top tier resources, food, everything, anything that you can think of. It's a perfectly planned event that gives amazing content to the ambassadors or the people that go there. The differentiation is that as a summit, people go to the summits as delegates, very much as a United Nations model, for example. You go as a delegation. For example, YNG goes as a delegation to One New World. Companies as Facebook, Google, Citibank, McKinsey, Deloitte have employees who they send to One New World as delegates of the companies to go and learn things regarding impact, because One New World is an organization that is totally 100% focused in impact and how can they shape the leaders of tomorrow to be more impactful, and also give them a network for them to grow with the creation that they have a summit. And it's amazing because YNG saw a lot of things in One New World that maybe we could do or implement or learn from them. for example, in terms of impact, Wine and World is doing an amazing work that maybe YNG could be learning a couple of things from them. So what we did in YNG and Wine and World is that we contacted each other and we decided to send a delegation of YNGers to the past summit in Munich and to this year's summit in 2022 in Manchester, just for the YNGers to have like this lab of experiments to actually interact with other young leaders from outside, from the world outside of YNG, and from us to learn some of those impact best practices that maybe we can bring back to YNG and to our own communities locally, for example, me in Spain or YNGers in their home countries. And it's just a great alliance because there's like very two similar structure youth networks that are trying to develop the next generation of leaders. And it's great to have them work with each other instead of them being something separate, you know? So I'm just very happy because at the moment we are currently shaping ways in which this alliance from YNG and One New World can better function. One New World has 15,000 members and YNG has 23,000 members. And there's just a lot of things that can be done with that amount of people that are trying to be leaders and trying to be impactful. So I'm just very happy to be a part of that conversation.
So I can see you now then as an ambassador, you're leading YNG communities because you're the global impact officer as well. And One Young World is really about impact and people in this age range of 18 to 35. And then you lead this international delegation of YPO Next Generation, which really then expands the connection and the impact mindset of both YPO, but also One Young World, because you're working together, this confluence of these two great organizations. But you go and participate because you're this global impact officer for YNG or YPO mm-hmm. Next Generation, but you're also a member of the Colombian government and First Lady delegation of the National Colombian Youth Talent. Can you talk about that side of the role that you play, and that's on the government side? And how did you become the First Lady delegation of the National Colombian Youth Talent? What does that mean?
Yes, of course. So that's completely true. I missed telling that. I went to the summits of One New World as a delegate for YNG, but also as a delegate of my country, of the Colombian country. And in the case of Colombia, the First Lady at the time, Maria Juliana Ruiz, the First Lady that was appointed from 2018 to 2022 in August, she was doing this program to gather around 30, 35 young people in Colombia that were leaders at their backgrounds or leaders at their respective industries, and taking them to the One Young World Forums. So in my case, I got to be one of those representatives of the overall Colombian country, that were appointed as one of those youth talents that the First Lady granted them as part of the delegation to go to the One Young World Forum and also represent Colombia, and all the talent that we have in our amazing, lovely country. So it was amazing for me not to only be cooperating with the YNG delegation, a very international one, with lots of business-oriented minded people, but also with a delegation such as the Colombian one at that time with the youth talent of the First Lady delegation in Colombia, which was a delegation that was much more oriented towards getting that international background, getting more knowledge from other cultures, getting more contacts within maybe Latin America, and maybe learning something more from how do people do it in Europe, how do people do it in the US. So it was amazing. Also from my side, adding value to that community. And most importantly, learning from them. I think in life, you're always like giving something, but you're getting something in exchange. Sometimes you don't even notice that these people from YNG and Colombia, they were shaping me to become a better leader, become a better advocate of impact. And it was amazing to be part of these two delegations that I truly love and that I truly feel a part of. That's true.
You know, we're in these multiple roles. I mean, even dating back to your education, applied science and industrial engineering, to combining with the business education to speaking the multiple languages, all of this work or fit. I mean, YPO is an international organization. The next generation is thereby international, and it's a really big community. And you're combining this with the One Young World community of roughly 15,000. So you got this 35 plus thousand, let's say, or in the 30s anyways, of this international confluence working together as an alliance and doing impact and impacting the world. So that's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Okay. And you're learning, like you said, you're able to contribute, but you're also learning from that experience, right? And because anytime you work with others, you learn their narrative, their stories, their histories, and you bring that into your understanding, and that increases your ability to do more as well because of all the learnings. You are also part of this global international internship program along YPOers and women like Diana Daniels, who's an outstanding leader within YPO. Can you talk more about that? How did you get involved with the Global International Internship Program? What is it? And how you got introduced to Diana Daniels, who's a leader within YPO as well?
Sure. How did I get involved with the internship program, with the Global Internship Program from Diana Daniels? The context, the pandemic was starting in 2020. And at the time I was a member of the Latin American board of YNG. And at the time I was the engagement officer for Latin America and YNG. But I had a call in which I met Diana Daniels, who is a YPO member of the Greater Europe Chapter. She's based in Barcelona, but she's Mexican. And she was creating at the moment, she was just starting this internship program to encounter opportunities of job opportunities to battle the COVID response inside YNG. So she was intending to create job opportunities to YNGers in YPO companies in a global platform. And she wanted to expand that idea to Latin America. And that was when both of us connected for the first time. And we said, like, let's do it. I can be the spokesperson of this internship program in Latin America. Diana was with other people in Europe, and we were trying to find other medley options in Africa, in the northern of America, Asia, Australia, New Zealand. And that was how it started. Diana, I can say she's an amazing, outstanding woman, an amazing leader that has a clear vision of what she wants to do. And she's a very impactful person that has shaped me without a doubt. It was great because we generated more than 70 possible internships in 1 year with that program, because the intention of the program was to create job opportunities at a time where COVID was arriving. So it was something that was really needed at the time. We created lots of pro bono internships for impact-sided companies in YPO, which was very great, and I learned a lot from that. I learned a lot about operations and how can you better like simplify the user experience with a platform, and how can you simplify them? How can you actually like make the experience of a YNG applying to be more simple? How can you make the YPO to be engaged with having a YNG? Actually like giving perspective in the two from our two backgrounds. So we have a YPO who has opportunity of giving a job, and we have the YNG who is looking for a job. But how can we really do the effective connection of making them joint? And that was something that at the time my industrial engineering background really helped me. And also just working along Diana, which is an amazing leader, was also really easy to work with. She's amazing. And I just learned a lot about that internship program. I'm very fortunate that I was part of the organizational team, and I was the director for Latin America at that moment for that program. It's another thing that I feel very fortunate that I encountered Diana Daniels very early in my life. And now she's a good friend and a good mentor for me, of course.
So I hear this story, right? Yeah, you're excited and you're curious about entrepreneurship and you get mentorship from your parents and you get into this Harvard program, which you can use this entrepreneurship idea, and you're in applied science and industrial engineering. Again, that's the practical applications of science, right? And then business school, where you get into this broader mind perspective, and then also that one young world, again, this international flavor, but collaborating with others, and you speak multiple languages. And then at the age of 15, you do the social venture and you find this niche, which is not being addressed, right? The farmers are not being addressed in the way that you think they should be addressed. And you have this new product category. And I think that's a really interesting story. But just as a reminder to the audience, you're 20 now. This is like, when you're in your teens. And then at the age of 17, you're the youngest member in the history of YPO board globally, YPO gold board, and also at the time serving as a member of the Latin America YNG board. And now you're on this YNG global board and you're the impact officer. And then you're part of this internship program as well, a key principle in that, ensuring that that's successful. And then now you're part of something called the first ever in the history of YPO, the over his 70-year history of YPO, of this Global Impact Summit. So can you talk about that and your view of this Global Impact Summit, or GIS is what it's known as, and what you hope to do with this Global Impact Summit, and what you, from your perspective, hope to achieve from the Global Impact Summit.
Of course. So the Global Impact Summit, as you said, the GIS, it's, I'd say, the most, from my opinion, the most passionate event that YPO can bring to some of the members. And we have the amazing opportunity that YNGers, YPOers of the next generation, are getting invited to this one. It's the first time that it happens. Because last year, the GIS was virtual. It wasn't live. And the year before that, it was the same. It wasn't live because of COVID. So first of all, I see an opportunity for YNGers to make an amazing impression or an amazing performance in the summit, the 1 year that attend. So in that way, YPO will see with better eyes to have us as an asset in the next global summits to come. So they will want YNGers to come to next summits. And I will tell you why, I think, and what's my perspective on that. Specifically in the GIS being impact, I feel that how people perceive impact, everyone has a different way to perceive impact because it's maybe an abstract concept, like what really impact is about. And I've seen that globally with the global position of impact officer. Impact is not the same as it is in Colombia, as it is, for example, in Southeast Asia. Impact concept in these two different places is completely different. And the same happens with the differentiation of age. So, for example, the demographics of people that go from 50 years old to 60 years old, maybe see impact as more of a way of doing, I don't know, implementations in their companies to become more sustainable in terms of producing and not creating so much waste and maybe lowering the carbon footprint. But maybe the concept of impact for Generation C people, so my age, 20, 15 years old, it's a completely different view, in which we, for example, believe that companies can be fully driven by impact, and every decision that they make can be impact driven just for the sake of having a better world in the future for us. Because, in 50, 60 years old, 50 to 60 years old, in 50 years, the ones that are going to be inheriting the world, it's going to be us, the young people, the people that are currently 20. We're going to be 70, and hopefully not only because we feel the necessity to, but we feel the passion to actually take to take care of the world that we're living on. So giving that perspective to some of the YPOers who are the global leaders of now, they are, as you said, YPO, it's an amazing organization that if you combine all of the all of the companies from YPO, you would take like the third world economy, which is an amazing state to say so. So maybe giving the YPOers from the GIS the perspective of younger audiences on what we perceive in impact could maybe add some value to what YPOers then take to their house when they leave the GIS. So I just think that maybe mixing those opinions of what impact is about from different ages, from different people, different demographics is going to be an amazing value for both sides. Because 1 year, we're constantly learning from YPOers because they can be our parents, they can be people that have more experience. But I also believe that YPOers can learn from YNGers in certain spaces, like, for example, impact. That is something that maybe YNGers and younger audiences have more impregnated in the DNA that maybe people from 60, 70 years old don't have as much in their minds as we do. So that's what I expect in the GIS. I think it's going to be an amazing event. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be in Costa Rica, again, my amazing region of Latin America, and a country that I love. And I just hope that we can have those interactions and that there will be more, as I said in the beginning, more events for YNGers to be invited into YPO.
Santiago, you bring this really interesting perspective. You know, you talk about past generations, as this could be like Generation X or Generation Y. And or baby boomers, and they have a perspective of impact, but it's a different perspective of impact, and it may be part of their company or it could be part of what they're trying to do. But what I'm hearing is for Generation Z or Z, which you're a member, and those are people born from 1997 to 2012, and 2012 was considered Alpha Generation. The mindset is different. It's like everything has to be about sustainability and making ensuring the proper health or the sustainable planet in some way, right? And ensuring the protection of the planet and all of its inhabitants and so on. So the mindset is very much more infused in everything that you think about. That's what I'm hearing. And you want to bring that mindset, ensure that mindset is into this Global Impact Summit, which is the first global one face-to-face. And you're bringing that mindset into that. And you want to ensure that mindset then spreads, right? Because basically, you want to ensure that the future inheritors of the planet, there will be a planet.
Yeah. And then for the generations to come, for them, maybe they will not have that obligation of having a world that is worse off after the generation that just was living on it. But that's maybe like a very broad, rude statement to make. I think it's more about the passion that for different reasons, Gen Zs and younger audiences have had towards impact and towards being more sustainable, that maybe we can, interact in some sort of ways with the YPOers. I think that that's where we can actually create a very interesting space in the GIS.
And then that GIS, the first Global Impact Summit held next year in Costa Rica, as you mentioned. And Costa Rica is a good model for impact, right, and sustainability. And to replicate that, right? And replicate that within the DNA of YPO. I mean, and having YNGers, the next generation, being part of that journey to ensure that that voice is consistent across all of the different programs within YPO. That's what I'm hearing that you want to accomplish, right?
Yes. Yes, definitely. So one of the things that also is happening in YPO, it's divided into two age gaps. You can say YPO Gold is for the members that I believe are older than 50 years old. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And YPO members without the gold name tag are below 50. And I believe at the moment there are more YPO members, the YPO Gold members, than YPO members. And that in some sort of way speaks a lot in the YPO vision or how YPO is doing what they're doing, because that means that they are maybe giving more value, or they're recruiting more people that are per se people upper from the 50 years old gap, and maybe not so many young people. Or you can see it in another way, and it's that maybe the younger audiences are not as attracted to join YPO at this moment in life. And when you ask yourself, why could be that the next CEOs and the next business people of that are going to be leaders of the world are not attracted to YPO? One of the things that comes to my mind is because YPO is not focusing maybe enough in impact in the global perspective. So that's why I think that it's very important to open to conversation and to a discussion for YPOers and YPOers that are gold members to learn from their sons and their daughters, the YNGers, or to learn from the younger audiences of why maybe if we happen to maybe become YPOers, or if we have the opportunity to be in YPO, why would we like to join, or why would we not like to join YPO? Those are things that I think that YPO should be taking into account for the next 10, 20, 30 years if they want to attract a new generation of CEOs, a new generation of president of companies, director of companies. I think it's very important for them to start diversifying and to start innovating in their missions and their vision that they see for the company, for the organization.
You know, those are very good points. So you're talking about the institutional sustainability of YPO as an organization itself. And you just indicated that YPO Gold, those are 50 and above, are actually greater in number than mm-hmm. those that are under 50. And that speaks to then the value that people are deriving from the organization. And you're saying that if you want to attract young people, Generation Z, Alpha Generation, to come in to join the organization, then you have to have a compelling value statement. And you're saying that the compelling value statement for young potential YPO members like yourself is all about impact in some way, and a sustainable planet and sustainable ecosystems and so on, and really having a genuine care for that future sustainability. So that's a great message, and it's probably true of everybody. Multinational CEOs, be more mindful of, you know, how can we preserve this planet, care for the planet to ensure that it continues, and you can see that mindset changing. Or you see these large investor groups like BlackRock, and how they're have changed their mindset in terms of impact. And not to be confused with the word impact, because different people have this connotation of impact, but ensuring that things are sustainable in a positive way, right? So those are great messages, and you bring that. You definitely are exhibiting all of that. So it's not like you're talking about it. You're actually doing it.
Thanks.
And so you're a model for us older generations to follow, right? And that's where you talk about this bi-directional learning. You're learning from the older generation, yeah. But we learned from you as well, right?
It's bilateral, definitely. It's reciprocal. I'm learning from the people that have more experience than I do, 100%. But I hope that maybe I can give some of my younger vision to the organization of YPOers and YPO goals. That's true.
Yeah, and really to the broader world community. So because really YPO is a member of a much broader ecosystems that are out there, and ensuring that some of this journey, some of the positive lessons from the Global Impact Summit, then distribute globally outside of YPO, because YPO is still part of many other communities, right? So
certainly it is. Yeah. I completely agree with that. I'd say that not only me, but at the end of the day, if YPO really wants to stand out and continue being this amazing, valuable organization of CEOs for the next years, they definitely need to take into account some different visions of how the company, of how the organization, of how they want the organization to be in the following years. And I'm not saying that YPO has to be completely super sustainable, impact minded, but it should definitely be one of the factors that they should be taking into account for the following years. When I was entering the role of YPO Next Generation Impact Officer, that wasn't one of the missions that I had or one of the objectives that I had while entering the role. But as I continued in my first months learning and talking to YPOers and starting to listen and to be empathic with the problematics of the organization currently from YNGers and from YPOers, I started to learn that a YPO could maybe envision this kind of things of having a more impacted vision in the future. So yeah, I just guess that at this moment, as I embarked the role a couple of months ago, one of my new objectives or one of the things that I want to leave, by the time I leave the impact officer role, I would love for YPO to have at least heard me or for me to have a degree of influence into YPO's vision and YNG's vision into how they do things.
Well, that's quite admirable. And considering your history, you will have influence because everything you do has influence.
Thanks.
And you're very mindful and very purposeful in your leadership. In fact, it's demonstrated leadership. You're very purposeful and mindful in your business. And you're very purposeful and mindful in how you invest and in internship programs and things like that. So you're definitely living and breathing and actioning all of the areas that you talk about. I only have one final question now at the closing minutes, and that is, what final messages or recommendations would you like to leave for a global audience, which consists of everybody? There's CEOs and investors and scientists and young people. It's quite a diverse audience globally. So
first, thank you for taking into account my opinion. Or my recommendation per se. I think, I don't want to sound as they say cliche, but I'd say that for now it has been true for me. And just following your passion, I was also encountered with this saying. I can't recall the name of it at the moment, but in life, I heard that you should be following three things: something that makes you happy, something that brings value to you economically, and something that is also leaving the world better off than how it was before. For me, if you have those three components, you're going to do well in life. If you're doing something that makes you happy, something that gives you good economically output to you, and something that leaves the world better off, so maybe generating some impact while you're doing the first two things, you're going to be someone that roundedly, it's going to feel happy and it's going to feel full with what you're doing. I have to say, sometimes it may be easier than other times. But I believe that if you found that passion and you can make those other two components work out while doing it, you're going to be well off by the rest of your life. I still don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out, of course. But I hope that by following these three factors and maybe there are things that I encounter in life later on, I happen to be an impactful person that in my objective of seeing life, hopefully the people that I help are going to feel better off than before I had the opportunity to intervene in their lives if they let me in.
You know, those are really interesting recommendations, you know, about happiness and about economic empowerment, and then also about, you know, value, making some kind of contribution in some way and leaving the world a better place. So I'd like to add one additional word to all three of that. So shared happiness. Shared economic empowerment. So not just for your economic empowerment, but shared economic empowerment. Mm-hmm. And then shared leaving the world a better place. So working in communities to do that, working with others. So add the word shared or omni-win So shared wins on the economic side, on all of those three elements, and also on the impact side, and then and so on. So those are great messages, and the audience should embrace them. So thank you for coming in and sharing so many of your experiences and insights, but quite profound. And the world would be a better place if they followed all of your advice throughout this hour of our dialogue. So thank you again for coming in.
Thank you, Stephen. It's been an absolute pleasure being here, talking to you. I just hope to keep doing the things that make me happy, and let's see if the things work out.
Yeah, make you happy and share that happiness as well.
Share the happiness. That's true. I just learned that. I just learned to bring that into my motive sentences. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.